Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. Geshe-la will be coming into the Gompa in a moment. If you've never been to the center before, if you will please stand when he enters the room out of respect for him and his teachings. You'll see people prostrating, and if you feel uncomfortable doing so, you're welcome to just remain standing. This morning, Geshe-la reviewed the 9-round breathing meditation in some detail, and also the breathing meditation when we breathe in and out 21 times. And he talked about compassion a little bit. So let's, if you have cell phones, if you'll please either turn them off or mute them, so it doesn't disturb the teachings. This morning, Geshe-la did not invite anyone to speak, but if he does this time, if you would please wait until you get the handheld microphone before saying anything for the benefit of the people who are listening to the streaming video. Okay, we'll be saying some prayers from this white prayer book on the first base sheet and the bottom of the first pink sheet. For those who have never been here before, we'll be saying the first three prayers. Geshe-la welcomes us to circumambulate the stupa clockwise and also to turn the prayer wheels on the other side of this wall. If you have questions for Geshe-la, there are little forms on the rack under the photo of Lama Zofa Rinpoche and Lama Yeshe on the other side of this wall. And you can just, thank you, you can put them on Geshe-la's table. And he'll be very happy to answer them. So let's just get our minds ready to hear the teachings. And let's see, as Master Gurmay Khyentse Rinpoche Chetan Losam Dalek said, when since no one forced us to come here today, ever since we stepped into our cars to get travel here, we've been accumulating merit. Okay, let's start with the prayers on the first base sheet, Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra 3 times, then the 4 immeasurables in English, and then in Tibetan 1 time. Taya ta omune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha Tayata Om Mune Mune soha. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Sentientam chede vadam deve yudam dempar yuchik du. To the second sheet, the pink sheet, and let's chant Chenrezig's mantra 8 times at the bottom, and then right above that, Green Tara's mantra 7 times. Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha, Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha, 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. You know, the children are welcome to go to their classes. And if you've never been to the center before, if you'll please accompany your child and find out where to pick up your child.
Good morning. We'll begin with the meditation, 9 round breathing meditation, okay? Mm. I think some of you already know this meditation because we have been doing this meditation every Sunday morning before the class. If some of you are here first time here at the center, so maybe I would like to probably say a little bit about this meditation, okay? every thought comes with energy. Every thought. Tibetan we call lung. Lung literally means no wind. So every thought is not the wind. So as I mentioned this morning, when you talk about body, spirit, mind. So maybe you are familiar with this term, body, spirit, mind. There's a lot of workshops been done. Even in the flea market, they have booth that talks about body, spirit, mind. So anyway, when you think about body, there's like gross, subtle, very subtle. Same mind, gross, subtle, very subtle. Spirit or energy, whatever you call it, that's also gross, subtle, very subtle. So in Buddhism, you talk about balance or imbalanced mind, balanced mind, imbalanced mind. So before we do these meditations, if somebody here first time, so I want them to know if you have interested in doing some form of meditations, I think it's good to learn the way it's been written in the books, so that at least sake of knowledge that you learn something that has history, rather than somebody just made it up last night. So then you feel good, at least you are passing down some instruction which has history. Or like thousands of years of history. So this meditation that we are about to do has been taught long time ago to help us to get rid of negative energy. So now negative energy, we do have energy, is 100% positive or negative, then this very much depend on how we, energy do become imbalanced. How, if every thought, no matter what kind of thought, that can be balanced or can be imbalanced, and how it become imbalanced, so according to this instructions, so when we lose focus, When we lose focus, that's how this mind becomes imbalanced. So then that very mind, that imbalance, the energy that comes with that mind. So that imbalanced energy, or you could call another way, you could call wasted energy, energy that's been wasted, become useless. So many of them go through these channels, so then they get stuck. So then there will be like a negative impact on health. Physically, there will be negative impact. So that contributes to the mind. So there will be no discomfort mind. So that then is not good. Then it's all kind of mess up. So. When you talk about concentrate, then it's like concentrating is like the way to balance your mind. Once you're able to balance your mind, then you balance the energy. So that energy that goes through the channels. So then that has positive ripple of positive impact on the physical, spirit and mind. All of that. That's what you talk about, body, spirit and mind in Buddhism. That's how you talk about it with mind. So you know, this yoga practice, you know, as I mentioned this morning, yoga does not mean, you know, physical movement. Yoga means, the Sanskrit word means practice. That's all. Yoga means practice. So what are you trying to achieve, you know, through physical movement? You are trying to achieve physical pliancy. This whole idea. So then meditation, there's another form of yoga. Another form of yoga that you do. What are you trying to achieve? You're trying to achieve the mental pliancy. That's what you're trying to achieve. So this all requires concentrations. I think if you don't concentrate doing physical yoga, you may end up hurting yourself. You have to be alert. Right? The same idea, okay? So, please don't think, oh, this nine-round breathing meditation is very simple, you know. So it is simple. So I think in America, in especially in the Europe, in the Western world, you do need something simple that you can do rather than something very complicated you cannot do. And probably you want to learn something complicated, then once you realize it's too complicated, then you don't want to do them. So that's much better to learn something simple that you can do. It doesn't require much time. It's, you know, it can be done, you know, within a good 5 minutes or 10 minutes. It can be done. You know, it can be done multiple times. Then, you know, this energy that runs through the channels, you know, talking in the Buddhism, there's like 72,000 channels. 72,000 channels. The three main channels inside the body, then all this rest of the channel, they kind of emerge from that three main channels. And that's where the energy is flowing. And it's flowing. That's why there's negative impact on the physical, you know, body, because there's this energy is going through all these, you know, channels. So it could be, you know, stress. You know, so I'm not sure. In the meditation instruction, it's called negative energy. So now you know how that negative energy has been created, losing focus. Losing focus. That's how, when you lose focus, mind become imbalanced. When that mind become imbalanced, the very energy that comes to the mind become imbalanced. So that's been waste. So I'm very much hoping this 9-round breathing meditation will help you to, how you say, eliminate stress too. Stress. No, so to do this meditation, okay? Some form of, you know, like focusing something throughout the day. Some, like, it's not just important, it's necessary to make your mind calm and peaceful. First you use your left hand. Any meditation that has something to do with the breathing, so we have to make sure that our body or back is straight, you know, back straight. So example they use in the text is called like stack of coin. I use here, my example changed since I moved to America. I say uncooked Italian pasta. That's much better. Everyone knows pastas, you know. So example they use in the old text, they say stack of coin. I think uncooked Italian pasta is much better. So coin can be, you know, moved here and there. So not cook Italian pasta. Then sitting like this, then there's another like that. The bottom line, the backs should be straight because, you know, it's all something to do with the channels. On comfortable cushions, comfortable body, comfortable mind, you do productive meditation. So mind has to be comfortable. So then with that, then you use your this left hand and this finger, blow your left nostril, begin with inhale long, slow. Then right now I'm moving my head, so because of this speaker. So you don't move your head, you know, just Then again, then we'll do one more time, or we'll do it again one more time. It begin with inhale. When you inhale, that's one. Okay? Long, slow. Then again, there's two. Then again. That's three. That's first set. There will be three set. First set, three round. Each time when you inhale, count one. Okay, because then next set is like your right hand below your right nostril. Then inhale. Long, slow. Okay. There is second set. That's like now six. It's called nine round. Each round has three. There's now six. The second round, there's six breathing. So now third round, not from the mouth, from nose. From nose, inhale, exhale. So this is called nine round breathing meditations, because there's three rounds. Each round, three, that's called nine round breathing meditations. A Tibetan word is called lung. As I mentioned before, lung means wind, literally means wind. In this case, energy. Lung, roll, is wasted. It's wasted. Because you lose focus. That thought becomes imbalanced. The energy that comes to thought becomes imbalanced. Many of them, then that's considered as wasted energy, okay? Lung roll. Gu, nine. Tuk, set. Cell means eliminate. So I'm very much hoping, so you can ask, there's a number of people who knows this meditation quite well, because we've been doing this many months. So that's good, then you doing meditation, I'm doing meditation, then each one of us get benefit. Rather than you just sit there, then listening my Mickey Mouse talk. So I'm not sure how much benefit that. So if you do meditation together, this is the best part of the class. We all do meditations, each one of you get benefit. You do this home, so you can, share with your kids, there's no preparations. So you just sit there comfortably, comfortable cushion, comfortable body, comfortable mind, then you do this. Before you do any kind of meditation, you begin with this nine round breathing meditation. So this meditation is particularly designed to help us how to get rid of these negative energies, not good for health, not good for mind, because there's like core relationship between body, mind, spirit. So that's why you need to get rid of that. So then I'm very much hoping this will, also help you to remove some stress. When you get stress out, before you reach your hand to the beer, then you do this meditation. There's no side effect. So you can teach your kids. You can share, and at least sake of knowledge, you learn some instruction that has been originated 2,500 years ago. It has history. So at least, there's something to feel good about. That at least you are passing down some instructions. And somewhere out there, if somebody has really interested to do some meditations, then at least you pass them instructions, pure instructions. And if they do, so they get a lot of benefit. You can also teach your kids. So this is called 9-round breathing meditation. Yeah, that's the okay. So that's that. So then, second one is called. You can do this multiple times. You can do one and rest, maybe drink something. Then you can come back. You can do this again. 9-round breathing meditation is very, very useful, very, very helpful. Okay. And people who are inventing these meditations, they are not making any money. This is not for money. No, nobody's making any money for these meditations. There's no copyright. All these books has no copyright. These wonderful books. Nobody make any money. Anybody can translate. Anybody can print. They have no interest. They have no interest about fame. They have no interest in possessions. They have no interest just to benefit other people. That's all. So then, second meditation that we are going to do is called 21 breathing meditations. 21 breathing meditations. So that is like also technique. It begins with 9-round breathing meditation. Begin with inhale, right? So now 21 breathing meditation begin with exhale. Okay. So that is like how to help yourself to develop your concentrations. So now question may be asked, why you concentrate? According to ancient teachings, that's the only way you can make your mind calm and peaceful. That's why you concentrate. That's all. No. If you want to enjoy calm mind, peaceful mind, what they say concentrate. No? You can watch your breath. That's one way to do. Also maybe walking meditations. No? That's not very famous in Tibetan Buddhism, but it doesn't matter. Long as it benefits your mind, that's what's the most important. Walking meditation, some kind of physical movement, So now this first, let's do the simple meditation. So what we'll do, we just exhale, not from the mouth, from nose, both nose. Then inhale. That's one. If you are having difficulties, then you say out, in, one. Out, in, two. Like that, okay? But please don't lose the count. We'll do this 21 times. Okay? And same, you can also do this multiple times. You can do, take break, you know. So you can do another one. So when you go outside at the Kadamba Center near our famous cafe, there's painting. There's like monks, elephant, monkey, rabbit. Also, then you know, there's like nine stages. It's like, there's like, this is like Tibetan art, which symbolize how to develop the best level of concentrations through these nine stages. So if you can count your breath in and out 21 times without losing count, so that means you are already in the first stages there. So now back to the main point. While you concentrate, unless you have some other way to calm your mind, this is the only way, according to ancient teachings. Someday, jishi, concentration makes your mind calm. So you can use, you know, different image. So in Buddhism, so you use holy image. So you're trying to, you know, imagine, you try to picture Buddha in your head. So there's one way it helps you to concentrate. And the second benefit is to remain recalling the holy image. There's two benefits. That's why we use Shakyamuni Buddha, you know, Buddha's image. That does not mean that everybody has to use Buddha's image. Of course not. So you can use any image. So this morning I, you know, said, you can imagine kale, beautiful looking kale. You can just imagine that. So the best that you can imagine that you are eating all of that. So, so the point is, you know, you are thinking about this glass, but you are not judging. Oh, it's blue. Oh, it's not looks good. It not look good. I don't like shape. It's not. There's no judgmental mind involved. All you're thinking is glass. That's all you're thinking. So that's the way to, you know, to keep your mind on one object. That means piling up all your mental power into one object. So that's the concentrations. So then also I mentioned, you know, this morning, sometimes you say, you probably read about, you know, like people are able to lift up their body from the ground, all kind of things. What happened, you know, there's like gross mind, subtle mind, very subtle mind, gross energy, subtle energy, very subtle energy. When your concentration level reach very deep, you could separate your thought and energy, you could separate them. So that's why, you know, that the body becomes so light, you know, so then the mind becomes so flexible, it's not uptight with something. When it's uptight with something, it becomes imbalanced. So flexible, you know, so the physically is flexible, mentally flexible, so well balanced. Less problem in the mind, less problem in the health. Certain case, you know. So I saw in my lifetime there's one certain, you know, that also has positive impact on the color of hair. Hair doesn't become gray very soon. There'll be less wrinkles. It's all done in, you know, this new meditation. So there are certain people who are in their 80s. You don't see any gray hair, no wrinkles. This is all done by, you know, this energy and that, okay? So talking about the channels, you know, there are like 72,000 channels in our body. So that's where energy flows. Whether it's like wasted or useful, this all flows. This all movement has been done because of that channels of energy, you know, going out, coming up, moving, blinking, all of that is done. That's all been done through channels of energy. You know? So then, like, when people are dying, you know, so then certain things they cannot move, because that means the energy is dissolving. Fire element, water element, wind element, what element? Earth element, they are dissolving. That's why they are losing, you know, some controls. So, and there's no, So out of 72,000 channels, I only know 3. Rest is your job. Just know. So now sometimes when you hear about near-death experience, in Buddhism it's not something very new. It's not kind of like mysteries. No, it's not mysterious. Mysterious? It's not mysterious. I already talked this a little bit this morning. So there's, you know, 3 main channels. It's located close to the back. So the rest of the channel emerge from there. So the central channel is right now, in my case, I'm not sure about your case, my case is blocked, completely blocked. So when we die, it automatically opens. That's why you experience this like crystal clear light or like blue sky, whatever it is. So you experience, because it's like central channel is opening, because energy is going through there. So that's why this incredible experience. So what they do, so I'll just say a little bit that I know. Central channel, the entrance of central channel is here, in between third eye. It's here. What they do, so they visualize, you know, like in Tibetan Buddhism, they visualize alphabet, some alphabet. It could be, you know, it doesn't have to be Tibet, it could be English too. It could be A, it could be B or C, you know, not the full half. They visualize something here, half A, bright, white, they visualize, and that's energy, that you created energy. Slowly, so it becomes so clear, crystal clear, that you manage to push them through the central channels. Then there's a way to open up the central channel before actually it becomes automatically time of death. So way before they were dead, you manage to open their channels. When you're able to push that energy into your central channels, you are able to lift up your body from the ground. You can do all kinds of things. So there's, you know, when you read or there's some articles in the books, so that's what it actually is, what it means, people to manage send their energy into central channel. This all requires strong concentration. Without concentration, there will be no progress. Only all require concentration. So for us, you know, calm mind, peaceful mind, that's what we need. At the moment, so we concentrate, you know, as I said, you can just visualize flowers, colors, trees, anything you can just visualize and make sure, you know, just try to pull up all your mental energy on that one single object and just remain there as long as you can. The beginning, just to remain with the object, not to worry about clarity, details, this comes later. If you can remain here like 5 seconds, so the second level, second step is to maintain that, how long. Then slow, is it clear? Am I seeing the details? Then this comes later, okay? Someday changes. So while you concentrate, to make your mind calm and peaceful. No? So please try that. So if you are interested in meditations, so that's, you know, one technique that you can use. No? Then, also what I said, I used to eat a lot of cheesecake, because in monastery there's no cheesecake. So when I first come here in this country, there's cheesecake. So then eventually there's cheesecake factory. So by the time when there's cheesecake factory, my karma has completely ran out for cheesecake. So I have, you know, pre-diabetes, I cannot eat sweet. This morning I say, you know, you can also visualize cheesecake. In my case, it's very easy. I can easily imagine cheesecake image. Compared to Shakyamuni Buddha, it's challenging to thinking about imaging Buddha image. Compared to cheesecake, for me, it's much easier for cheesecake to visualize. Not just that, also like used to eat, you know, like a warm chocolate chip cookie from the Whole Food. I can picture that very easily. So right now, when you talk of food in Buddhism, there are three different types of food. The food that we eat now called kamse means there's gross food, not gross like sense of disgusting. You want something you can touch called kamse. That means that there's food that you usually eat. That's called kamse. Then there's another food called sembese, means mental food. So right now, look, that's what I'm eating, like from the Whole Food, the chocolate chip cookie, that's like mental food. So I know when I become very desperate, I know where to go to get it. So I know sure they will have it. So, and I know what time to go. So what's the best time to go? So not too late, they'll be run out. So I know all these details quite well. If I become desperate. So just knowing that no, is chocolate chip cookies available there. It's not going, not going away anywhere soon. So that's mental food. Just knowing that you have something to eat, but actually you don't have to eat. So you can live with that. That's called mental food. Huh? The second one. Then concentration food. The last one is called concentration food. You just live with the power, the energy that builds from the concentrations. You don't need to eat a whole lot of food. You can just live with that. So there are three different types of food. So then you hear some people, they don't eat. Some of them, they don't need to eat. Because they have so much energy that's been developed through concentrations. They are not rely on food. No, they very little, they rely on food. So there's one particular practice is called Julin. Julin means taking essence. Taking essence called Julin. That means Ju is essence. Check, Len is check, taking essence. What they do? So you collect, these flowers. That's on the high mountain. You collect this flower, you dry them, then you make pills out of those flowers. Or you can make, flowers that we make on bread, on that like that, something. You can make also pills out of that. Like something as small like this, size of thumb. Then you do some practice that come with that, and you do that practice. And basically you eat one pill a day, you can live with that. That's, I think, Tibetan version of detoxifications. Sounds like much harder, huh? Anyway, believe it or not, 7 years ago, I met one nun. I was in Dharamsala, where Tibetan exile government is located. On the mountain, there's many nuns that are meditating on the mountains, not like far from Dharamsala, on the mountain. I visited all of them, make some offerings to them. One nun, probably mid-20 or early-30, she's doing this, taking essence of flowers. She's doing this practice. It's been like 4 months. Really kind of looks quite good. And I had some conversation with her. So she said the beginning is kind of tough, it's challenging. Now she's fine. That's all she eats. One pills made out of flour once a day, that's all she eats. She looks fine. She can talk. So then some of you probably know Chunden Rinpoche, who came to Kadampa Center a long time ago. He was prison in Tibet after 1959, 30 years, something like that. In the prison, that's what he did. He just lived with one pill a day. So this practice, some people, they correspond with this practice very well, and some people don't, probably according to their physical structures. So anyway, I met one nun now who's doing this practice. So, so now, then the power of meditation. So me and all my friends here, so we all should know the power of meditation, or maybe purpose of meditation, is to minimize our negative thought. Means being hard on yourself is not good. being hard on someone else's belief, someone else's culture, someone else's traditions, their looks, is all not good. So I said many times, and I really, when I summarize Buddhism, this come down on that. So we don't need any negative thought. Any negative thought. Why? Because negative thought, believe or not, that is mental suffering. We don't need them. If you don't want to suffer, you don't need it. That's called mental suffering. Oh? That's why I'm encouraging people to think good, think positive. But easy to say, but not that easy to do. Oh? So this is probably me, all my friends here, we all should remind ourselves the power of meditation to have less negative mind. Okay, less negative mind. So then, it becomes like your meditation become productive rather than I'm worried. I've been worried a long time since I came to America. I've been worried. So make sure that our meditation doesn't become chicken meditations. Chicken can sit. Some bird, they can sit on one leg, but we can sit on one leg. So then I'm not sure what they are doing, but they're like. And some squirrel in my backyard, they put their whole tails here. Sometimes they go like this. They sit there a long time. I'm not sure what they're thinking. It looks like they're meditating. So nowadays, you see the cat is very peacefully. You see the postcard, the cat. I'm not sure how they manage to put their feet together. The cat. The postcard, it is cat. It's not. It is cat. Looks really like peaceful meditation. I used to have that one postcard, the cat meditating. So there's I thought, wow, in America, not just people, even the cat meditate too. It never happened in Tibet. This is a powerful country. Well developed. So you can see the cat, like, very tranquility. Not thinking about mice at all. So anyway, I'm not sure. There are pictures there. There are some pictures there. So anyway, so then your meditation becomes very productive. So then you are doing something rather than doing nothing, sitting there and thinking, probably not thinking nothing, but thinking something. Meditation being, I think, misunderstood, or just sit there, think nothing. Oh, that will be wonderful. If you can sit there, think nothing, that will be what I want there too. So, but it's not easy. But you can do, you think something very precisely, then other thought will be disappears. That's one way to do. So, okay. So after the class, then last couple of Sundays, I've been talking about thinking also, that we don't need complicated practice. We need something simple. Something simple, like people here, you hear all the time, oh, I don't have time. But we have something simple that we learn, then we do meditation, then a lot of benefit, okay? So that is compassion. Meditation on compassion. All of us have responsibility how to create beautiful meditation on compassion, how to create. So, true Sunday, Sunday before last, so one, after the class, one woman comes to me, so she thought, meditation on compassion is all about other people, nothing for yourself. So I thought, yourself is already included there. So this concern is very important to raise. So now we need to think about that, how let people know yourself is already included on that. So, meditation on compassion is very powerful. So it's not something that complicated to learn. It's or quite easy to learn. So we should learn, and we do meditation on compassion on a daily basis, and you'll get immense benefit. That's the strength. So then today, after the morning class, there somebody gave me this, pictures. I heard long time ago, Kentucky. There are people who are released from the prison. They have difficulties to developing positive contact with humans. So what they do, they let them take care. There's a lot of horses probably left behind. Somehow there's no Kentucky. There's like racing horse. Then horse cannot race, run anymore. So they just abandon them. There's one organization. They take care of those horses. Wonderful. Not very far from Gethsemane, where Thomas Merton, this Catholic monastery, not very far from there. There's like sanctuary. They take care of the horse. So then, most of the voluntary there, they are like prisoners. So they, develop affections with horses, slowly help them to transform their affections to human. And they're beautiful, beautiful organizations. So, so now, we become so sophisticated, so smart, So then we become so close to all this gadget, it's unbelievable, wherever you go. I'm not criticizing, that's the realities, So the gadget, doesn't have affections. That's the truth. So we spend so much time, with the gadget, and we spend very little time with actual humans, which has, affections. So this is whether you call it like developing, or one hand you feel like you have everything, then also you feel like you have nothing. So this is kind of, unfortunate, so much time has been spent, with something that doesn't have any affections, So become so knowledgeable, so sophisticated, then, kind of like moving quite far away from basic human, fundamental human quality. That's what His Holiness called loving kindness, compassion, human affections. So this picture, I think, symbolizes, affections here, the horse with the lady. So then the way he explained to me that her daughter is sitting on that horse, and she's standing right in front of that horse. The horse all of a sudden put head underneath her arm. It's beautiful photos, and look at the eyes of the horse. So then this morning, I said, so from the Buddhist point of view, so compassion, Ma Lakshema, mom is mother. Lakshema is a mother who has no arm. Seeing her child is drowning into the water. Can you imagine how she felt? That kind of feeling we needed. Practically, whether you can lift that person up or not, but the kind of emotional feeling that you have, like that storm, that's called compassion from Buddhist point of view. Compassion have definitions. Then, the subtle element is required. You see terrible news, terrible things about in the news. Here, there's people killing each other, people, all kinds of news. Unfortunately, most of the time, the bad news you see. You see some people going through this, and you kind of like overwhelmed. In the middle of India, in the train stations, you see these 10-year-old girls going out of her mind, throwing herself on the ground. You feel terrible, But there's not just one, there's many of them. There's so much you can do, practical level. So that doesn't mean that you can do nothing. You can do, but that feeling, that's compassion, that feeling is compassion. It's not pain, it's compassion. This is compassion. So sometimes, then people get depressed. Am I right? When they're seeing so much tragedy, they get depressed. So one thing I'm thinking, before all of that, you know, we have to learn how to help ourselves. So you probably heard about in Buddhism, that's called renunciations. A lot of people have negative idea of renunciation. Oh, renunciation is you just leave everything behind, go maybe every best came, then sit there the rest of your life. It's not like that. Renunciation means helping yourself. So now, first of all, it's very important from Buddhist point of view. I'm not sure from the Western psychology point of view, I don't know. But you know, from the Buddhist point of view, it's very, very important to understand your own existence. You know? So you think about, you know, this teaching about samsara. What is samsara? They've been talking about this last 2,500 years. They are talking about samsara. What is it? What is it? So am I part of that or I'm like out of that? What they are talking about? What is samsara? This all means understanding your own existence. Understanding your own existence. Huh? So then this whole teaching about karma, this all like developing foundation, it helps you when you overwhelm seeing all these things, and it helps you to not to get depressed. It allows you to develop compassion rather than depressed. It gives you to develop compassion rather than being depressed. So that's what I'm thinking, that's what is lacking. Your own understanding. Then there's so much unrealistic expectations will be minimized once you understand your own existence. That's what I see, that's what is samsara is about. So back to my experience with one member from our center who went through deep depressions second time. Then doesn't have kids, doesn't have family, and I help. I'm not advertising that I help him, that's not the point. So please don't misunderstand. So stay with me 1 month. Meditation doesn't help. Dharma teaching doesn't help. Here, this side, have no clue what is depression. No clue. That means not understanding depression. That means same like not understanding your own existence. So if you don't have good understanding of that, you have no clue what that person is going through. Physically, that person looks fine, but inside, that person feels like that he's in deep hole, dark hole. He can't get out of there. But you don't see that from outside, physically fine. And sometimes you wonder, oh, maybe that person is just acting. No clue. So 1 month, and you know, then, from people from center, there's a couple of people from center, I asked them to help. They came. Some of them, they already went through depressions. They know what depression means. So they well connected. Immediately, he feel relief, huge relief. Finally, he found somebody who understands what he's going through. Whatever that person says, it's become like medicine for him. That's amazing. This is exactly, I think, it's having experience. What is samsara? Not just understanding, experiencing the samsara. Then seeing someone there, same. Then you understand their situation too. So that's kind of interesting, interesting to look, so no matter what you try. So what we did, I took him to walk every day, couple of hours. No talk at all, just silent, to walk in the middle of the wood. So that's the only thing. I know meditation, not many, many meditations. So, doesn't help. Other hand, Gishe Sambo has no clue about depressions. Talking to him, so he don't appreciate that. Because he thinks that somebody who's talking to him is more like lecturing than helping. That person don't understand, so like that. So anyway, we took a lot of walk, long walk, so a lot of walks, many, many hours every day. So And anyway, so that's just my experience. So unfortunately, if there's good things about, say, 1 mile, the person only sees last part, there's only good. Rest is, even if it's good, if you think it's good, it's all black. Slowly. So then I think, now that person is fully recovered, thanks to all the people from the center who helped. Now he's normal. So anyway, my point is understanding, and you know, this is really help. Okay, so then understanding the samsara, that will, you know, reduce many, I say, unrealistic, you know, expectations. So then according to mother, then you don't twist the other person's, try to fit in your imaginations, because you respect that person. You understand not your own existence, you understand very well existence of other person too. So the compassion, I think, is the answer. Compassion. You know. So His Holiness said, it's not lack of religions. Religion, there's many religions exist throughout history. People have been saying prayer throughout history. It's not lack of saying prayer. What is lacking is like human affections, loving kindness, affections, compassions. That's what we need to do. So we create, you know, we create. So I'm reading a lot of quotes mainly from Mother Teresa. Some people may think, oh, why Gisela is reading Mother Teresa? She's Christian. I don't care at all. What I'm looking for some help. Mother is great inspirations. It's happened in our generations. It's not like 2,500 years ago. It happened in our generations. She herself don't care the people that she cherish. She don't care. She don't ask them questions, are you Christian, Buddhist, Islam? She only sees they need help. She give them help. So that's what is compassion about. You know, compassion is putting your love into actions. You know? Regardless, Asian, American, African, Tibetan, doesn't matter. You know? What you need to, what is our job is to give, because they are, you know, what she sees is like, she says, you know, it's like give up God. Doesn't matter what word they use, doesn't matter. So we need to get to the point. So according to Gishin Langri Tharpa, who wrote this 8 verses maintaining text, in the beginning there's eight stanza. In the first one it says, and he's trying to see, whenever he interacts with the people, he's trying to see them as a precious jewel. But mother says, gift. And he says, precious jewel. So that's what I'm trying to do. You know, so I try to repeat this word whenever I interact with person, whether the person is happy, unhappy. So it doesn't matter. What is matter for me is having a calm mind, peaceful mind, affection mind. That's very important for me, for my own happiness. That's very important. So there's something I can do rather than trying to make them calm, peaceful. That's big project. No, that's not easy to do. So there's something that I can change, you know. So I do. So then I try to repeat this word whenever I see, you know, I repeat this word in my mind. Please bless me to see that person is a precious jewel. There's so much to offer. You know, I could gain so much from just that person. So then try to see that, like verbally training your mind. So I've been studying this. Wherever I go to Mexico, Argentina, Europe, some part of America, I use one of those quotes, then based on that, then I give my talk. Because it's like, it's difficult because, you know, sometimes I want to say really something I couldn't say. Because I'm not able to think in English. I'm thinking in Tibetan. Then saying in English is not easy. So then, you know, limitation of my word. So sometimes, you know, it doesn't, I'm not worried about what needs to be said, but I'm worried about how to say. Some of the people don't understand. You know, I'm trying, then, you know, they're reading one of their quotes and it's well said. So then based on that, you know, so then I try to, you know, how the Thomas Merton, how he explained compassion, and how Dr. King, how he talked about compassion, Mahatma Gandhi, how he talked about forgiveness, compassion, how the mother talks about forgiveness, compassion. So then I use those quotes, you know, whether it's about precious human life or compassion. So then it's well said, then I use those words, you know. So what we need, you know, as His Holiness said, we don't need more religions. What we need more compassion, you know? More loving kindness, more compassion, you know. So that's what's lacking. So we create, you and me, we all together, you read Mother Teresa, quote Dr. King's, Mahatma Gandhi, Mandela, Nelson Mandela's, His Holiness, Thomas Merton's, all of those, you know, great masters. We read those quotes and we create, I'm hoping they will create nice meditation for compassion. What is our goal? Our goal is people become more compassionate. There's not, our goal is not, oh, there will be more Buddhists. That's not the goal. The goal is to become more compassionate people. That's what we need. Regardless in which community, which religious institution, we need more compassionate people. So, more human affections. You know, they're like people who feel like they unloved, unwanted, unworthy, all those, you know, all those, whether you feel yourself or someone else. So, I thought compassion is the key. You know, compassion is the answer. So we need to meditate on compassion. In Tibetan word, it's called Nyingje. Nyingje, that's called Tibetan word. My cat was named Nyingje. So she has Nyingje. She has compassion. She's very sweet. And some people thought her name is Ninja. She doesn't look Ninja. She looks. She's kind of round. She doesn't have Ninja's body. But some people there is a Ninja. She's round. So she passed away last year. She's round. So then when people come, some people there thought she's pregnant because she's so big. Actually, she's pregnant with the food. So I miss her, you know, sometimes. I really do miss her. So she's beautiful. She's a wonderful cat. I pick her up every single day, probably 20 times every day I pick her. Whenever I see her, I pick her up. So I touch her nose here, so she's very patient, very patient. Usually cat doesn't like to touch their nose. So because her nose is very wet and cold, it feels good, so I touch here. I pick her just, sometimes I keep her a long time, she goes like, she never, you know, like, she's like wonderful cat, so. Yes, then and she has no amazing death. She's amazing the way she died. I was in California, so I have altar in room, my room. So I want her to follow me, you know, on altar. So I believe that she will create positive karma. So before I just, you know, give some treat, then she follows. After that, no treat. Whenever she goes, whenever she noticed I was in the altar room, she just follows me. 3 rounds, no problem. Then 4 rounds, then she's doing some all kinds of things. She's doing all kinds of things. She sits there. So one time, Julie John, she came. She's doing all of a sudden she feels something behind her. There's Ninja. Ninja will go around. Whoever going around there, she will follow there. So then when I was in California, if you don't mind me telling this story, so this is not really teaching, but, you know, I like she. When I was in California, she was, you know, she has cancer. She's getting skinnier and skinnier, very weak. When I was in California, leading some retreat there, and Gisambo finds out Ninja is laying down in her little box, barely breathing. And Gisambo don't want to disturb that, you know, let that do something. Somehow she managed to get up from there, the downstairs. There's like stairs, like there's like 5 stairs to the kitchen and to the altar room. Somehow she managed to get up from that little box, walk all the way up, went to the altar room. So then laying there, then Gisang would look that she's in the altar room. And Gisang would have no idea how she managed, she's like hardly moving. So anyway, then she's facing her face to the window. That's how she's laying down. And Gisang don't want to touch. And I asked Gisang to play some prayers in the CD. Play some prayers, you know. Then Gisang would just say some mantras. Then went somewhere else. Somehow, all of a sudden, again, twisted all the way back, then looking at the altar like this, pass away. You know? So I'm kind of happy about that. You know, she's like a wonderful cat and very, like, very, very patient, very patient. So taught me great lessons. You know? You know, text that suggests, you know, the mind training text suggests, whenever you see something difficult, situation, you have to see, like, wow, this is a great opportunity to practice patience, things like that. So Ningjie taught me a lot of lessons, you know. So Ningjie, sometimes when she gets, I think people, they say, I'm not sure, the people, I talk to some people from the center, they are saying that she's stressed, the way to express something. Sometimes she poops in my outer room. Then you go there, then you know, you desperately need Dharma now, but you don't have Dharma now. When you see something like that, you are desperate for Dharma, but there's no Dharma. So, huh. So you stand there, so then you say, how come this is my altar room? How come that you poop here? Not knowing, you know. In the morning, when you come out of your room, all of a sudden she vomit out there. In the morning, you step on this all liquid, almost like that. So they're like, you can't say, wow, this is a wonderful opportunity to practice. that's very difficult, you know. Sometime, you know, never happened to me, wow, this is a wonderful opportunity to practice. You know, so according to text, if that happened, that's good. That's the goal, but that never happened to me. So a couple of times, I don't lose my patience. I just sit there, you know. So early morning, before breakfast, you're barely waking up, all of a sudden, so, you know, so that's like, then, you know, slowly, then, you know, it gets better, it gets a little bit better, but it's slowly better, you know. So then, I think she taught me a great lesson. You know, she's, in a way, you know, some probably blessed my heart. That's my heart many times. So I do miss her sometimes here and there, so I separate. So anyway, so what if there's affections been developed between me and Ningjie? She was relocated after the Katrina, New Orleans, hurricane. So one of the Stephanie's family asking us to take care. So when she was very little in New Orleans, that Stephanie's nephew wanted me to name her. And I give her name, Compassion, in Tibetan, called Ningjie. After a couple of days, his mother called me, Gishila, no Ningjie. Something happened, but Ningjie locked her inside the house somehow. She's not quite happy with the name, so she says, no Ningjie. So anyway, the name is already given. So then she comes there with her another cat. So the Ningjie always comes to me, then I ask, if they don't mind, if I can keep Ningjie. So the boys say, oh, the boys in California, some of the boys are very happy. If Gishila wants to take Ningjie, he's absolutely fine. So that's how Ningjie stuck with me. So then since then, we really developed, you know, this close bond. So that's affections, like here, affections. So that's what we need. So we need to start that from, you know, close one. It's so difficult to start with person we don't like. It's difficult to start with strangers. It's easier to start with a close one. So so that's what we need, what we should do. You know? So most of the time that you spend with the people that you close one, so then begin with there. So compassion. So please think about how to create meditation compassion. That's all we need. We don't need many religions. We don't want to need to become something. We just need to meditate on compassion. That's good for everybody. That's what I'm trying to, you know, think. You know. And also, every Sunday, so I thought I'm going to teach about Om Mani Padme Hum. But you know, so then always there's no time. So so that's the mantra, you know, this is for now, probably stop. Yeah, probably stop now. Yeah. Stop, yeah.
Do you mind if we say the prayer list and the dedication first? Because some people will leave and then they need to dedicate before they take off. So, okay, prayers for happy rebirth, all those killed by natural and man-made disasters, all the Tibetans who have been killed or have taken their own lives in the struggle for religious freedom, Venerable Losang Chodron, Deirdre Frank, Mary Beth Park, Kami Tsering, Nelson Mandela, Annette White, Judith Wormser. Job search, John Pell, Justin Kelly, Roseanne Barona, James Lillig, Sarai. Prayers for health and well-being, Chabje Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Venerable Margaret McAndrew, Venerable Chirky Lamo, Venerable Losang Tsering, all those harmed by natural and man-made disasters. For the Tibetan people and for the Chinese authorities, may the nonviolent path lead to full reconciliation and religious freedom. Jim Barnes, Roseanne Barona, Lilo Cardarelli, Sebastian Clark and his parents, Beth Cruz, Walker Doherty, Dimitri Diamandopoulos, Susanna Bill Epstein, Richard First, Jasmine Ghaznawi, Mildred Gooch, Nikki and family, Francis Hayashi, Leslie and Joan Inman, Kenny Jackson and Buddy, Helen Kasanoff, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Zen Lee and her father, Mark Bella and Hazel, Jacob Meadows and family, Tom McGinnity, Brian Miller, Jay Pandya, Pierre Parento, Lindsay Piotti, Aunt Polly, Brent Richardson, Eileen Rubin and family, Dr. Albert Sance, Rosemary Cease, Andre Smith, Tian Ho, Tian Zhou, Tian Bo, Tian Zhuo, and the Will Foundation, Losam Tubtim, Steve Wakefield, Dion Washington, Dorothy Wertis, family of Judith Wormser, Pokey the dog. So let's read the prayers on the pink sheet in the white prayer book. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. Savior of the snowland teachings and transmigratory beings, who extensively clarifies the path that unifies emptiness and compassion. To the lotus in the hand, Lord Tenzin Gyatso, I beseech, may all your holy wishes be fulfilled. The one who mastered speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatara, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as a bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Majjhana's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. And then seven green Tara's mantras for Geshe-la's long, healthy, happy life. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Hi, everybody. My name is Sandy Carlson, and I'm with the Financial Development Committee. And I know we've been hearing a lot the last few months about the finances of the center and how we support the center. And today, I don't have the eloquence of Julie Jones, and I don't have the sheer brilliance of Susan Potter, but I've got some awesome news for you. We were hoping the New Year's challenge was to create an additional $25,000 in the last 2 weeks, and at that point we were going to get a $10,000 match to bring us to the $100,000 mark, which is basically our New Year's stage one, okay? Our base camp is stage two, and that's getting us to about $160,000, which is what we kind of spent last year and where we'd like to at least start working towards so that we can create all of the conditions to create the needs that we'd like to fulfill for the rest of the year and all of the different things that we'd like to do here at the center. But I'm happy to report that the New Year's Camp Stage 1, not only did we actually meet the challenge, okay, we did it. We did it in a great big way. All right. Not only did we meet the $100,000 New Year's challenge, we're actually quite well on our way toward our base camp level. Okay, we're probably about $125,000, and that's due to our community, our wonderful, generous, beautiful community. So thank you all. We did it. That's it. Rejoice. Mm-hmm. Have an awesome day.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.